L. Koo created the installation To Drown in 2018 for the Jack Straw New Media Gallery. I sat down with Koo in the Jack Straw Studios to talk about the ideas behind her piece, her development as an artist, and her fascination with light as a material.
The space is mostly dark. There's only a projection light that is running, and that kind of shifts and moves and changes. And that and the sound are the parts that I really wanted to focus on. That's kind of the main focal point of most of my work. And there are also some larger paper objects. There are some that are hanging, and they're kind of shifting with the movement of people and in the room, and there are these kind of translucent paper material, and then there are some smaller, more kind of structured boxes that are laying on the floor that are also of a similar translucent material. And then in the corner I have some opaque white boxes that are where the sound is coming from. With this space, I just really wanted to make something that was quite ephemeral and spoke about time, but not necessarily in a linear kind of format of how you kind of experience time as it passes, but more as a way of almost kind of getting lost in the time and in the space a little bit, kind of a space of memory or a space of time that is a little bit kind of removed from the kind of everyday, ordinary way of experiencing time.
Talk to me about the sound component that is present in To Drown.
So there's a kind of underlying ambient sound that kind of carries throughout the entire duration of the sound. And then there are these kind of harsher, at times kind of more melodic kind of sounding, I guess, spikes of sound that are intermittent. And then there are some of those spikes that are definitely more harsh and start getting almost a little bit kind of electronic, I guess, some kind of almost feedback sounding noises. But the sound also, it's four-channel, but it's run off of two stereo tracks, and so each of those tracks are different lengths, so they don't sync, and it doesn't sync with the light either. They're all different lengths. They just kind of run on a loop. So every time you experience that, it's slightly different. It's never quite the same. I kind of went through a lot of iterations for this, not just with the sound, but everything. And I finally settled on this because I wanted to not copy or overlap anything that the light was doing in the space. I didn't want to be repetitious. And so for me, the sound is a really important component in that it acts more as a kind of, almost a way to kind of break it up and kind of bring that uncomfortability a little bit kind of grating. You know, there are moments that are more kind of static or kind of pleasant to listen to, I guess. But then there are certainly moments that are more kind of grating and maybe a little bit hard to listen to. It's funny because I was making the light in the space and I was initially making it without running the sound, and it wasn't right. I kept getting the pacing wrong and I was so frustrated, and then I left and I came back the next day and I ran it with the sound and it was fine. It was just what it needed. So really definitely a very important component, I think, for this work.
What is the state that you're trying to create with this piece?
I guess that's kind of what I've been struggling with a little bit in terms of how to try and explain that through words. I guess on my wall text, I use this phrase like drowning in the light. And for me personally, I have such a connection to light that for me is very, very much tied to my childhood and my upbringing and certain memories.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in the Bay Area, just south of San Francisco.
What was your experience of light there?
Well, the light in that area, you know, is like very, the quality of it, I think, is very different from anywhere else. There's something that is very palpable about it, and it has a certain kind of solidity and weight to it, just the kind of tangibility of that. And so the way that it kind of pools around things and around the floor and kind of wraps around everything, I think is a very different quality of light than anything else that I've experienced. It's just a very different experience, but I think the more time I've kind of removed myself from it, the more it has kind of come to me. Like,
do you miss that light?
Certainly, I think there is a certain kind of, not nostalgia, but a kind of longing or a kind of yearning for something. The idea that light, but also lightness, that you can't really kind of hang on to anything forever, that you kind of pass through these moments in time. But also, I think another thing that I was trying to address with the title was this idea of kind of staying in spaces almost for too long, that there are these places that are, you know, where you kind of find yourself in between moments where it feels like you're just kind of waiting or stuck in this kind of gap area, the moments where time kind of seems to expand or stretch for a very long time, and you kind of find yourself becoming too comfortable, and in that comfortability comes uncomfortability.
Is this theme of light, does it carry through all of your work?
Yeah, so I guess most of my background is actually in photography, but that's always kind of been a main point of my work, is the light. I think for me also the light kind of palpability and the kind of real kind of physicality of it. For me, growing up, experiencing the light and watching it kind of pool on the floor, but kind of shift and move and just kind of watching it. For me, that was a very, something about it just kind of resonated with me and has stayed with me.
In terms of coming from a photographic background, did you start with film or did you start, has it always been digital photography?
No, I think I'm like just old enough that I started, well, I mean, I also started pretty young, but I think I'm just old enough to where like I caught film before like digital became better and cheaper. My dad gave me one of his old SLR cameras when I was about 8 or 9 just to like mess around with, and I kind of never really gave that up. I mean, I don't really like shooting digital, to be honest. It, I don't know, something about it just doesn't feel real enough. But yeah, I've kind of always shot film and done darkroom stuff, and yeah, just always kind of been about the light.
Because the way that it's set up in the gallery, it's possible to experience the thing from, you know, every different angle imaginable. Yeah. It doesn't seem to me like there's necessarily a front and a back. Is that intentional? Do you want the viewer to sort of move around?
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's been a bit of an issue, I guess, with my work in the past, actually, is that I always intend for it to be really more of an immersive installation where you can, if you want to, walk around, you know, wherever you may choose. I know that's also kind of difficult in the dark, especially with fragile kind of work. You don't want to... Although I guess I have found that people either tend to really want to just kind of stay still and not move, or they kind of want to walk around and like touch things. And I'm like, just please don't touch that. But yeah, it's kind of one or the other. People either feel like they really just need to like back off as far as possible, or they just really want to like get up really close to it.
Do you have a similar experience to that golden light, that you want to be in it, or you, and you also simultaneously want to back way up from it so that you can just take it in visually?
Yeah, I do, actually. Like, on one hand, you know, I think I really just kind of want to like hold out my hands and just kind of be part of that for a while. But on the other hand, it's like there's something about it that just feels like incredibly exposing, I guess. I mean, it is, right? But I don't know. I think light also has a funny way of hiding things as well.
Like what? Can you say more about that?
Well, I think the way that light works and operates, just the way that it hits certain things at certain times, sometimes you see certain things, sometimes you don't. I guess also, you know, coming from a photography background, you know, if you overexpose something, that's obviously, you know, will kind of take away the information that is there.
One of the things that you, in your artist statement, also write about is displacement.
Yeah.
Can you say more about that and how that is a part of this piece?
I guess the displacement for me is also really about time and I guess space as well, just kind of feeling like not really a part, I guess. I don't know, certain moments or certain places where you just kind of feel removed. And not necessarily, I guess, always with people, but just even like out of time. Like I think there are certain moments where you just feel kind of strangely like not there and kind of displaced from like a more kind of normal state of being, feeling completely present.
Do you want this piece to reflect that displacement or evoke that displacement or all of the above?
I would like people to experience more this kind of displacement of time. Not that it doesn't exist, but that it kind of, you know, you don't really think about it while you're in there. That's not something that's really a pressing matter, or the kind of linearity of it. And I guess actually that was kind of one of the things that was nice about my opening last night. Even though it was quiet, people, they kind of went in there and they would just kind of disappear for like 20 minutes or something, and I would almost forget that they were in there. That was really nice to have people be able to experience my work in that way.
Elku's installation, To Drown, was created through the Jack Straw New Media Gallery residency program. Podcast interviewer is Alyssa Keene. Produced by Levi Fuller and Joel Maddox. Engineers are Joel Maddox and Jimmy Guan. Jack Straw Executive Director is Joan Rabinowitz. The Jack Straw Artist Residency Programs are made possible with support from the Seattle Office of Arts and Culture, 4 Culture King County Lodging Tax Fund, Washington State Arts Commission, National Endowment for the Arts, Arts Fund, and individual contributors. Additional thanks to our media sponsor, KUOW. To learn more about our arts programs and hear more podcasts, visit us at jackstraw.org.